companies hoping to attract top talent frequently offer perks to candidates. Sometimes it can be generous benefits, on-site childcare, or free lunches. But one perk that was seen as trailblazing was offering employees the ability to work from home.
But working remotely may soon become a thing of the past as companies like IBM are telling employees to start coming back to the office. While companies see this as a way to make teams more collaborative and productive, some employees who've gotten used to working from a distance see it as a deal breaker.
Sarah Kessler joins us now to talk about the future of working remotely and how it could affect a number of industries. She's a reporter at Quartz Magazine and covers the changing landscape of work. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, why are some companies like IBM starting to move away from this idea of working remotely?
So in IBM's case, it was really that they wanted to, in some departments, work more collaboratively and in person. In general, the research is actually kind of mixed about what the best call is in allowing people to work remotely. Some studies have shown that individuals are more productive, but more recently there's been research that says, sure, maybe individuals are productive, but the teams are more productive if they're working together and can easily exchange information. And so that's the better call.
And how do employees feel about having that option on the table, the ability to work from home or maybe not even be in the same city as the company itself?
Well, for a long time, that has been a recruiting tool for some companies, that they can, you know, access talent where they don't have offices and where people don't want to move. In this case, IBM, because it had for so long championed remote work and had been hiring people who worked outside of major offices for so long, in a lot of cases, they were asking employees to move across the country in order to come into the office. And obviously, people who had been working from wherever they were for a long time weren't always happy about that.
And are they one of the leaders doing this? Who else is telling employees, guess what, it's time to come back to the office?
I mean, there aren't so many that are mandating it this abruptly, but there are a lot of companies who encourage people to work near the office in other ways. So, for instance, Facebook offers a $10,000 bonus to employees who live close to the office, or a lot of tech companies offer free lunches and dry cleaning, and all of that is aimed at getting people to be there physically for a longer time.
Now, as I understand it, part of this is, and you were getting at this with some of the research you mentioned, that there may be some synergy that happens, or at least that's the idea, that employees who are working close together, they can bounce ideas off each other, and that they can create more innovative opportunities when they're all together, whereas remotely, we know that employees are more productive. So is this a matter of which is more important, productivity or innovation?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit it is. I think it's reasonable to expect that for different companies and different types of work, the optimal solution will be better or will be different. The research, it's not necessarily, there isn't anything that says this is totally the right way or this is totally the wrong way, but there has been a sense for a long time intuitively that people come up with better ideas when they're together. And some of the most successful companies have certainly encouraged that, which has encouraged people to mimic them.
And you write in your article about desk setups where the desks are all pushed together kind of into little pods. Sometimes sounds like it might have been when you were in grade school when you had a little pod that you had to sit with. Does this mean that there's less focus on the individual innovator and more on pushing this idea of teamwork?
Yeah, that's definitely something that a lot of companies moving towards that would say. And that also intuitively makes sense on some level, that you can easily interact with people all day long and overhear things that you might contribute to that you would have never heard about before. Also, at the same time, though, what is happening is that it's becoming more expensive to rent space in cities, and that layout saves a lot of money.
Sarah Kessler is with us right now. She's a reporter at Quartz Magazine, where she looks at the future of jobs. And right now we're talking about why some companies like IBM are phasing out remote work and bringing their employees back into the office. And Sarah, flexibility has been something that has been really prized by employees, the ability to create their own schedule. What does this move by IBM in particular say about the notion of flexibility for employees?
I mean, I think it is probably just putting some limits on it. Really, this move was aimed more at just having people regularly come into the office. You know, they specifically said that they weren't trying to limit flexibility in terms of you have to leave an hour early to attend your child's, you know, Christmas concert or whatever. It was more of they had teams that every member was working from a different state and had never met. And they wanted to remedy that situation. But what I would say is that for a while there was this notion of remote work as something that was the future and that office space would eventually become obsolete. And I don't think that that's true. I think that a lot of companies are realizing that there are a lot of advantages to working together.
Now, some critics have wondered whether this is an indicator that the company doesn't trust its employees. Is there something to that?
I don't know that it's a matter of trust. I think it can just be very burdensome to be coordinating every meeting and every phone call and every interaction with a calendar appointment and an email, and people are looking for more casual encounters. They're also, you know, when Yahoo did this some years ago, they had evidence that there were employees that were not working when they were at home. So that might come into play a little bit.
And technology, it's moving very quickly now, and I know that plays a part in this move to bring employees back to the office. But do you think this could also work in reverse? Could this be a phase about bringing the employees back, and in another 3 or 4 years, they discover that the innovations happen anyway. Maybe something else takes precedent and we're back to the more remote work again.
Yeah, that might happen. There are certainly people who would argue that. And I think for some types of work, it does work better than others. You know, there are a lot of freelancers that work alone, but they're working on projects that they largely handle themselves and don't require a lot of teamwork, that they complete to fruition and then hand off to somebody else, which seems better for remote work.
Are there any particular groups of people who this might hit particularly hard, families or parents, for instance?
Well, again, in this particular case, they weren't trying to necessarily become, like, extremely strict about when you needed to be in the office, just that you had to show up for work. But obviously people who needed to be home for some reason or who liked, you know, taking off for their lunch break to go play with their kids, and incorporate it more into their life or work on their own schedule, that's going to be a lot harder.
What do we know about what happens in terms of productivity when workers come back to the office?
So I think, you know, there's limited things on this, but when they've looked at individual productivity, which they did a research and they did a study in call centers, and people were actually able to complete more calls on their own without being surrounded by people. But then when you think about group productivity, if we're both on a team and I figure out something that makes me work faster and now I share that with you, the group productivity has gone up a lot, whereas if we were both working in silos, maybe we would have each been kind of chugging along at a slower pace or at a quicker pace, but together, you know, we don't share those ideas that help us work quicker and produce more.
Now, you write about the future of jobs. Are there other ideas that lean toward innovation in terms of the way we work that you see on the horizon that we should be keeping an eye out for?
I mean, the big things that I'm thinking about right now are the trend towards freelance work and how you can coordinate freelancers in new ways that allow you to assign different types of work to them. And then also automation and things that technology will accomplish that we spend time working on as humans today.
So what kinds of things in specific are you thinking of?
On the automation part?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. There's everything from computer programs that do the work of paralegals to obviously in factories, there's more and more of that work is being automated. I was just in a factory recently where the entire manual inspection process that used to take a person hours going over each part is now done by a computer that looks at photos of each part and compares them to what it should be and can alert people when there's something wrong. And there's just there's probably thousands and thousands of examples. Newspaper reporters, there's a program that will write simple news stories about financial reports or baseball games that are already appearing in newspapers. So it's pretty broad.
A lot of changes coming down the pike. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Sarah Kessler is a reporter at Quartz Magazine, where she looks at the future of jobs, and she joined us today to talk about why some companies like IBM are phasing out remote work and bringing their employees back into the office.
Coming up, Bill O'Reilly is out at Fox News, but our guest wonders, after years of sexual harassment allegations and settlements, what took so long? I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.